Long ago, Tillamook dairy farmers built a ship because it was the only way to share their dairy with the world. It's like they say, when you really love dairy, you build a boat. Or something like that. Tillamook. Extraordinary dairy.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
On News Talk.
Now, after the massive PR success of the reopening of Notre Dame Cathedral, French President Emmanuel Macron has now turned his attention to the most famous painting in the world. In a speech inside the creaking infrastructure of the Louvre, Macron announced that Leonardo's masterpiece is on the move to a private room of its own. So our reporter Simon Tierney has been looking at the reasons behind this decision and examining the storied history of the legendary portrait. Simon, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Why is this happening?
Well, any of your listeners who have been to visit the Mona Lisa in the Louvre will be well aware of what a dogfight it is to get anywhere near this rather diminutive painting. It's very, very small when you see it in real life. It's not a pleasant experience, Pat. Now, a staggering 22,000 people go to see this one single piece every day. And I was surprised to discover when I was there that photography is allowed. So it's a sea of people holding up their phones. Now, the plan is to give it its own private room, which I suppose the idea is that it will give it a better crowd control because it's currently exhibited alongside other Renaissance masterpieces.
Now, before we get to the attempts to steal the Mona Lisa over the years, more recently I understand it's become a target of environmentalists.
Exactly. Well, galleries all over the world are trying to adapt to how they've become targets in this area, Pat. And the Mona Lisa is pretty durable because it's been behind protective glass all the way back since 1956 when a museum goer that year attacked the lower portion of the painting with acid. Now, in 2019, a new bulletproof shield was installed in front of it. But despite this, in 2022 and 2024, two separate attacks took place. The first was by an individual and the second was by a group who called themselves Riposte Alimentaire. And they were attempting, or at least they said they were attempting, to draw attention to agriculture and food security. Have a listen to this.
Mona Lisa and her iconic smile, covered in Chantilly cream. On Sunday at the Louvre Museum, a 36-year-old man disguised as an old lady jumped out of a wheelchair and smeared cake on the painting, whilst urging people to think of the planet.
Think of the earth. There are people who are destroying the earth.
Witnesses described the event as jaw-dropping, with social media taken by storm with the footage. Thanks to the glass casing, the piece was left undamaged and the perpetrator escorted out by security and an investigation underway.
Also breaking at this moment, Leonardo da Vinci's world-famous painting, the Mona Lisa, has been attacked. Two protesters threw soup at the priceless artwork, which is protected by thick, bulletproof glass in the Louvre Museum in Paris. The attackers then called for reforms to the agricultural system.
Okay, so Euronews and Die Welt reporting there in 2022 and 2024, respectively. But I want you to take us back to 1911, because that year marked the beginning of the iconic status of the Mona Lisa.
Well, this is the bizarre thing, Pat. It was really the theft of the Mona Lisa in 1911 that gave birth to its notoriety and made it the most famous painting in the world. It was its absence that rendered it conspicuous. Now, an Italian handyman named Vincenzo Perugia, he'd been hired by the Louvre to build glass protective cases, ironically, for paintings in the museum. And I spoke with Christopher Marinello from Art Recovery International. Now, he's a specialist in finding stolen art, Pat, and he explained to me exactly how Perugia stole the Mona Lisa out of the Louvre.
Vincenzo Perugia was a worker at the Louvre at one point and had his coat, which blended in with other workers, and he just managed to smuggle it underneath his coat. And it's not a very large painting. People don't realize that, but it was very easily concealed, and he managed to get it to his apartment and kept it for 2 years. Perugia has been described as a sort of lovable loser. He wasn't particularly bright, He did claim that he was doing this to return the painting to its rightful place in Italy. And, you know, he said Napoleon had stolen the painting and from Italy and brought it to France and that it must be returned. Now, Napoleon was one of the biggest art criminals of all time, right up there with Adolf Hitler. But he did not steal this particular painting, the Mona Lisa. It was painted by Leonardo da Vinci and brought to France as a gift to the king. So this is not something that Napoleon had pilfered. So while Perugia had supposedly good intentions, he had the wrong painting.
And that was art recovery expert Chris Marinello there. Now, he mentions how small it is. It can't be much bigger than an A4 page.
It's very surprising when you see it in real life. It's really quite small, Pat, yeah.
Now, it took that 2 years for the painting to eventually be found and returned to its home in the Louvre.
Yeah, well, the theft became really an international sensation. Images of the painting appearing in newspapers all over Europe. The police, I found this out last week, they even did a print run of 6,500 reproductions of the painting, kind of like little leaflets. And they handed them out to people on the streets of Paris in order to educate the public about the crime. And all of this, I suppose, contributed to its growing notoriety. In fact, it said that more people visited the Louvre to see the empty space where it had once hung than had bothered to see it when it was actually on the wall. Now, Christopher Marinello, he explained to me how the law eventually caught up with Vincenzo Perugia.
This is where he was very bumbling in his acts. You know, he showed off the painting. He did have a criminal history. They were somewhat aware that he was a suspect at one point. Where he really went wrong was he tried to sell the painting or show curator at another museum in Italy that he had this painting and that he was looking for a reward, which is outrageous because he was the one who stole it. This should have been deemed a ransom, not a reward. And of course, he was turned in and the police arrested him, and he was somewhat heralded locally as a hero, but he was no hero. He was just an art thief. Well, this story was very interesting. People love art theft stories, even to this day. And this was an interesting one. This was, you know, at the time it was stolen, it was not the most important painting in the Louvre. I mean, it didn't have that reputation, but the theft certainly gave it some credibility and some excitement. And now it is, without a doubt, the most famous painting in the world.
And it was also a handy size to steal. We can't forget that.
Very easy to smuggle.
So if it was 2 meters by 1 meter, it might not have been so easy for Perugia. Now, the new plan means the Mona Lisa will be moving to a new room within the museum itself. But has it ever left the Louvre in the past on tour?
Well, it has, but it hasn't left the Louvre for 51 years, Pat. In 2018, France's culture minister suggested an international tour, but the head of the Louvre turned that down, citing concern over a hairline crack in the frame and what that might exacerbate. Now, there was a tour to Tokyo and Moscow in 1974. That was its last major outing, with 1.5 million people visiting the painting in Japan. The National Museum in Tokyo made the bizarre decision not to allow entry to people in wheelchairs. Now, this was the 1970s, bear in mind, and they cited crowd control as the reason. A woman called Tomoko Yonezu decided to protest this policy on the first viewing day. And what did she do? She sprayed red paint onto the Mona Lisa itself.
And was it damaged?
Well, estimates suggest that between 25 to 30 droplets of red paint landed on it, but ultimately no long-term damage was done due to the protective glass. Now, Yonezu, she was arrested, but her activism actually led to the announcement of a special viewing day for the disabled community. So she kind of won in her own way. But its most famous outing was 10 years before this, Pat, back in 1963, when it was exhibited at the National Gallery in Washington, D.C., and then afterwards in February of that year in the Met in New York. And all of this was actually organised by Jackie Kennedy, who was the First Lady, of course, at that time.
It's Mona Lisa Day in Washington. In the West Statuary Hall of the National Gallery of Art, nearly 2,000 first-nighters, including the First Lady, stunning in a long pink dress, see President Kennedy introduce the world's most famous painting to Americans. France's Minister of Cultural Affairs, André Malraux, and Madame Malraux share the great moment when the 450-year-old masterpiece makes its first public appearance here. The President will pay tribute to French President de Gaulle as a man of vision, but will also spoof him a bit, making obvious reference to France's determination to build up an independent force.
Mr. Minister, we in the United States are grateful for this loan from the leading artistic power in the world, France. This painting is the Second Lady that the people of France have sent to the United States. And though she will not stay with us as long as the Statue of Liberty, our appreciation is equally great.
In 4 weeks, she will hold court for some million persons before transfer to New York for exhibition at the Metropolitan Museum of Art.
Now, something untoward did happen to the painting while it was in the care of the Met, but everybody kept shtum about it, I believe.
Well, huge care was given to the Mona Lisa while it was in the States, as you can imagine, Pat. It was escorted by the Secret Service everywhere it went. US Marines were on site for its unveiling. You name it in terms of precautions. But Thomas Hoving, former director of the Met, I was having a look at his memoir, which he wrote in 1994, a couple of days ago. And one night, he tells this story about one night when the building was closed to visitors and the sprinkler system in the Met accidentally went off. Now, while the Mona Lisa did, of course, have a glass shield on it, it had been rained on for several hours by the time he arrived into work the following morning and found his colleagues on the floor with towels around the Mona Lisa, mopping up the mess. No major damage had been done, however.
What an extraordinary story. And people will still flock to the Louvre to see the Mona Lisa, have no doubt, in its new home, whatever form that will take. Simon Tierney, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.